Good evening. I have a feeling I know why I came before the meal. there was this preacher, and he was guest at a home of believers, and before the second meeting, the evening meeting, they asked him if he would like something to eat before he went to meeting, and he said, "Oh no, I can't eat. You see, when I eat, it affects my preaching. So I can't preach before I eat." So the husband of the head of the household, he went with him to the second meeting. The wife stayed at home, and when he came back home, his wife asked him, "Honey, how was the meeting?" And he said he should have eaten. Well, I hope you can tell the difference. Good to be with you. And yes, I've been a friend of this assembly for a long time. I go back to the Y. Probably 17 of your 20 years, or 18. Maybe that far back. I remember most of you back then. And we used to sit on the chairs, and we had to put them back after and make sure everything was in order. Way back up at the Y, and I'm so honored to be with you, and you would have me join with you at this very precious time. The Lord has really blessed this work, and will continue to bless it. We're going to talk about the work of the Lord. Philippians in chapter 1. The work of the Lord. Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a work performed in the lives of believers. When the Lord transformed you from darkness to light, and from death into life, and from the kingdom of Satan unto God, that work that the Lord performed in you, he will continue and he will perfect it at the day of Jesus Christ. But there's also a work of God's people, which the Lord begun. And such a work begun in Reidsville 20 years ago. When we think of the work of the Lord, we think of a vision, because every work begins with a vision. It begins with a burden. And if the Lord is the one who placed that burden, then he is the one who begun the work. And he is the one that will perfect the work. And in the meantime, the work must continue. So we're going to look, first of all, at the commencement of the work, the continuance of the work, and the completion of the work. Because the Lord is going to complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. And that day could be interpreted as when the Lord Jesus comes to the air and take his people home. That's the day of Jesus Christ. Also, it could refer to the judgment seat of Christ, when the Lord is going to test our work, not for quantity, but for quality, what sort it is. And that we can find out as we continue. When we think of a vision, we think of Paul the Apostle on his way to Asia, going east, and the Lord said, "You need to change direction. You need to go west, young man," as we say. "You need to turn around. You need to go west," because God had a plan and God had a purpose. And God gave this servant of his a burden. He gave him a vision. In the night, he had this vision. It was a man calling and beckoning to him, come over and help us. We refer to this as the Macedonian call. And Paul, the apostle, first of all, he was submissive. First of all, he was obedient. He said concerning his vision to Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That was his conversion, but he was also not disobedient to this vision. And this is in Acts chapter 16, if you want to follow me. And there's a verse that caught my attention there, as the Apostle Paul, now joined by Paul and Silas, now joined by Luke. And this is significant, beloved. And any work of the Lord, there must be a witness, there must be convincing, there must be the Spirit of God directing us and confirming it to our souls. And this is what Paul says in chapter 16 and verse 10. And after he had seen the vision immediately, that's important. Immediately. That's how a servant responds. Immediately. You don't argue, you don't ask questions, and you don't ask for confirmation from another brother. And if another brother says, well, I don't think it's a good idea, you change your mind. If God speaks, then you respond, and you respond immediately. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. He had the confirmation, the conviction in his heart that the Lord had called him to go to Macedonia. And you need to understand how important this vision was. You need to understand how important it was, beloved, because that's the time that the gospel got to Europe. And figure who we'd be talking to today if it didn't happen. Do you have European ancestors? Do you? Is everybody so silent? Has said something? Come on! This is the anniversary. I need to see. I need to make sure that you're listening to me. The food is not ready. So he changed direction. Surely gathering. God had called him to preach the gospel. This man always responded to God's call and God's direction. Remember when he talked of his call in Galatians in chapter 1, after the Lord had changed his life, he said something like this: when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, immediately, and that's the word again, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. There is a danger, beloved, in delaying. There's a danger of getting man's approval. When God calls, we respond, and we respond immediately, lest we change our minds and have doubts, and the work is not done. Immediately. Then we go to Philip the evangelist. We're talking about the beginning, beloved, the commencement. Philip the evangelist in chapter 8 of Acts. And he also was called, he was summoned by an angel. Why didn't the angel go and preach himself? Well, there's a reason for that, beloved. And when we think that others must go and others must do it, why didn't the angel go himself? Because God has committed the word of reconciliation to his people. It is our responsibility, it is your responsibility to beseech men on the behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. And God has put this treasure in earthen vessels. And that's for us. Philip went immediately. There's something to be said, beloved. And I don't, I'm already in with these brethren, so I don't have to say anything. I'm already in with them, okay? So, there's something to be said. To leave a thriving work and go to a place where nothing is being done, where there is no assembly. This is what happened to Philip. He left to Jerusalem. He left a thriving work and he went down to Gaza. He went to a desert place to meet one man. Think of these dear brethren in a very comfortable, large, and thriving assembly. And they would take up with their families and come here to start a work. That's a burden. That's a vision. That's how it's done. You know how it's done today? We get up because the assembly is struggling. We get up from the struggling assemblies and we go and we join a mega church. And we sit down and we warm the benches. Or as our good friend Bob Brown would say, you know what he would say, suck up the free air condition. They left a thriving work and came to establish a work. Now look at it. The hand of the Lord is upon this work. And we rightly sang, beloved, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. The Apostle Paul would testify before Agrippa. And he would say, of all the hardships I've had, all they lie in wait to kill me. They were really after me after the Lord called me. But I want to tell you something, Agrippa. By the grace of God, by the mercy of God, I have continued unto this day. What happened? Because he was obedient. We find Lydia, she got saved. First convert in Europe, Lydia, she got saved, the seller of purple. She was part and parcel of the group now. Then the Philippian jailer, he and his whole house, they got saved. Something is happening in Europe because a man obeyed the call of God. Because he responded to the vision of the Lord. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. And there, you know what the result was? Not only Lydia and her household, not only the Philippian jailer and his family, but when we read the Philippian epistle, there's a full-fledged assembly there. I want to read Philippians 1 also. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Let me be respectful. Let me be careful. Beloved, this is all that the church consists of. Anything else we have is man-made. Everything else we have, we added it. This is the church in its entirety here. The full church consists of believers, saints, bishops, and deacons. Anything else we have added. Anything else is man-made. And we have a full-fledged assembly here. It consists of saints, bishops, and deacons. Just like the Philippian church. Because there were those who had a burden. There were those who responded to the call. In the case of the Philippian, in the case of Philip the evangelist, he left a thriving work and went to the desert to meet one man. But you know, great things can happen from small beginnings. Because after that man met the Lord, He was a quick learner. He not only got saved, but he learned the truth and the doctrine of baptism. He learned about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Philip, at that very scripture, preached unto him Jesus and all that it entails. And after he was baptized, what happened? He went on his way rejoicing. I believe he went back to his country. That's how the Lord Jesus said it must be done. Told the disciples in chapter 1 of Acts that they must begin at Jerusalem. They must expand to Judea and Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. A thriving church here. A worldwide ministry. Evangelism based on a vision, based on obedience. Not only there must be commencement when the Lord starts the work, begins the work in you, but there must be continuance. And that's so important. There needs to be continuance. And Jesus said it best. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed. There must be evidence that you have responded, because many have given lip service to the work of the Lord. Many have started and they have dropped out by the way. He says you got to continue. You got to continue. And after Pentecost, we know what the church did. We know what the believers did. In Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added to the church some 3,000 souls, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Those are the exercises of the New Testament church. And people go to these other churches and they, oh boy, we love the ministry. And we always show up for the prayer meeting, you know. And as to the fellowship, we love to eat, so we're always there. Why do we have to break bread every week? I guess nobody ever said that to you. If you go around as much as I do, you would hear a lot of that. Why does it have to be every week? They don't complain about the ministry. They don't complain about the fellowship. They don't complain about the prayer meeting, even though they don't go sometimes. But the meeting, the Lord's Supper, it bugs people. They don't want to do it. So you do it so often it becomes habit forming. It's not special. Ravi Zacharias said one time, he asked a brother who told him that, oh, why do you have to do it all the time? He said, do you feel the same way about the offering? And so there was silence. Yes, that came from Ravi Zacharias. So you feel the same way about the offering. Oh no. They don't feel that way about the offering. But the breaking of bread, because if Satan could get you to dismantle that, you know, to put it out of the way, he'd be happy. Because you see, he doesn't like to give glory and honor to the name of the Lord. You'd like a brother to stand up here like me and tell you how to live. Sometimes we don't even know how to live ourselves. But we got to continue. And that's the ministry here at Reedsville. Exhorting the saints. They began well. They began in the Spirit. They began led by the Spirit of God. They began with a burden. They began with a vision. But they didn't end there. They continued. And they instruct young believers. They instruct children. You instruct older ones as well, as Paul instructed Timothy, because perilous times are coming. Difficult days are coming. He said to him in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, knowing of whom you have learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, what admiration I hold for the Sunday school teachers who take these young minds and mold them and instill in them the Word of God. Because somebody out there is waiting to teach your children about evolution or evolution. Somebody out there is waiting to teach your children about tolerance. And when they mean tolerance, when they say tolerance, you know what they mean? All lifestyles are equal. But here, beloved, the brethren wants to continue to instruct you, telling you of the things which you have learned, and to instill them in your hearts and in your minds. Paul and Barnabas, what a team that was. Oh, man. A team, two giants. And they were out there and they were planting assemblies in the power of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't just plant them and move on. They instructed them. They guided them. They led them in the path. And for instance, in chapter 14 of Acts, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, that is Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue. That's the word, beloved. Exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that they must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Not in this aspect when you enter the kingdom of God being born again, but the kingdom of God in its future aspects. And beloved, this is the struggle that we go through. It's not a matter of salvation or losing it. And when he had ordained elders to every church and had prayed and with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. Continue. The work of the Lord, we can tell about the work of the Lord if we see the continuance, if we see the follow-up, if we see brethren sticking to the truth, sticking to the doctrine. Before I go any further, brother, I don't know when I started, so tell me how much more time I've got. Oh, good. All right. Got 15 minutes, okay. Lystra. Are you laughing at me? Or will we? Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, Antioch continued in the faith. In the faith. And Paul also instructed Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I never talked to the brethren about this, but I am sure that there were setbacks. I'm sure there were discouragements. I'm sure there were pain. I'm sure there were tears, because you don't get into this work without those things. And these brethren had to struggle like everybody else because they wanted the work of the Lord to go right. They wanted to lead God's people, these new converts, these new believers, in the path that they must go, and they must be doctrinally sound. Not everyone would respond to that, but you know, that's what it's about. Good soldiers. You know, the apostles spoke to the Colossians, that is. He wrote the letter to the Colossians. He told them of the great salvation that the Lord had provided, that of Jesus Christ being making peace for us through the blood of his cross. And then he tells them of they were reconciled to God, beginning there in verse 20 and on. And then verse 21 says, "And you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, am made a minister. You got to continue, not only believing of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You have to continue believing in the New Testament doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. You have to believe. You have to embrace it. And many have claimed to embrace it, only to find out some years after they no longer believe that stuff. They're denouncing the very thing that they said they believed 20 years ago. And they fall off into apostasy. They speak ill of the Lord Jesus Christ. They speak ill of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. They don't believe in creation. We don't believe those things anymore. Only simple people believe those things. And stupid people believe it just happened. That's what I say. I added that. Ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Continue. And the brethren here have continued. They have sought to uphold the standards and the doctrines of the New Testament and to teach them. To teach them. You know that this is the main work, but this is not the only work, you know. There are other works that's going on from this assembly. Do you know that? I know that. That's because I've been around so long. Huh? I know that. Anybody here know of the bus ministry? Anybody know of the weekend retreat up at Mountain? Anybody know about those things? I go, Brother Steve let me go for free. But I go anyway. You know, I would go, I'd go anyway. I just wanted to add that. I just want to have some fun with you this evening, but I don't want us to all be serious all the time. I mean, I'm going to preach the truth, but I want us to let you hear down if you got any. I don't have any. Never did. And relax. Because this is a great occasion, beloved. We have continued, the brethren here, and I come occasionally, the brethren here have continued for 20 years. This is the work of the Lord. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this work will continue until Christ comes. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled. There are obstacles, and nobody's going to deny that. There are pitfalls, and we need to understand that. And Paul the Apostle warned Timothy concerning the pitfalls, concerning the obstacles that he would find in the way. And he used three words. He says, flee, follow, and fight. Sometimes you gotta run, beloved, like Joseph did. Flee! You gotta follow, but follow closely. Don't follow like Peter afar off. Follow closely. And then you gotta fight. The country song says, sometimes you gotta fight to be a man. I can't believe I said that. I heard it at one of these brethren's house, okay? I went to one of these brethren's house and I heard that, so. Now, 1 Corinthians in the chapter 6, verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, first thing, flee these things. And they went before the lust for riches, covetousness. Flee these things. and follow after righteousness. Follow closely. Follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. These are Christian characteristics. And then you fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, unto which thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The work will be severely tested. There's going to come a time when you have to make a decision. It's going to hurt close friends. It's going to hurt close associates. But you have to take a stand. The truth comes first. That's what we're talking about this morning. But the Corinthians, they didn't even care. They were concerned more about numbers than about holiness. And this will happen. It happens in every good work, and it may happen or already happen here and other places. But this is what John says, John the Apostle. I'm going to leave this and go on to the last point before. 1 John chapter 2. It's a little children, verse 18. It is the last time that, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, by which we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. We were not on the same page doctrinally. We didn't have the same thoughts or the same estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they left. They couldn't stand the fact that you believe that he is God. Antichrist. They went out. If there had been of us, they would have continued with us. The work of the Lord requires a good commencement, a vision and a purpose and a burden. It involves continuance. And then there is the completion. He who begun a good work in you will complete it. He will perfect it. He will perfect it. The apostle was looking at the end game, as we say. He was always looking at the completion of the work. And he would say words like these in Philippians. He says, what did he say? He says, I forget the things which are behind, and I press forward to the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is a race that we have to run. It's not a 100-yard dash. It is a lifetime marathon. And we have to run because the end is in sight. Pressed with a mark. The finish line. And that's what it's about, beloved. It's the finish line. Oh, Peter was told by the Lord Jesus that he's going to go to be an old man. He says, you're going to grow to be an old man, and you would know when the end is coming. And the Apostle Peter knew exactly when the end was coming. And he would say to his audience, to those to whom he wrote, He says the end is near in 2 Peter in chapter 1 as he winds down his illustrious life and ministry. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 13 says, "Yea, I think it fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." As you continue, because I'm leaving, but the work continues. And brethren, we are leaving. Those of us who are older, we are leaving. But the work will continue. Keep these things in remembrance. Young believers, you have to shoulder this responsibility, because we are not here indefinitely. The Lord is going to take us one way or the other. If he takes us to be with himself, then all of us are going. But if those of us who are older, he takes home, then our work is done. We're going to put off this tabernacle, but you must step up to the plate. You have a responsibility. That's why the brethren are continuing laboring to teach you. I said the Apostle Paul always looked at the end. You know, when in Acts, that very painful chapter, Acts chapter 20, when he was so burdened to go to Jerusalem, there were those who were discouraging him. When he called the Ephesian elders together and gave that farewell speech in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, verse 22 says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." What a lofty ambition. What a lofty goal. Not counting myself. My life is not that important. My physical well-being is not that important. The important thing is to finish my course with joy. Some of us, we limp into the finish line. Paul says, "I want to finish with joy. I want to finish with my hands up, victorious. I have conquered." That's how I want to finish the ministry. The ministry. This work that began 20 years ago, the ministry, brethren, the brethren want to finish well. They want to leave you, younger men and women, they want to leave you a sound assembly when they move on. Doctrinally sound, spiritually sound, morally pure. That's what they want to leave you. And Paul says, that's what I want to leave you. I want to finish well. It's not about my physical well-being. Just in case you're wondering, I'm winding down. I hope that's good news. I'm winding down, beloved, but I want to say something else, so. I'm not going to stop right now, but I'm winding down. Another 2 or 3 minutes won't hurt. How did he finish? You know how Paul finished, don't you? Do I have to turn there with you? You know, you're already there, right? How did Paul finish? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4. How did he finish? How did he complete his ministry? How did he complete that calling of the Lord? How did he do? Well, this is what He said, by the Spirit of God, he was not boasting. For I am now ready to be offered. My work is done. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, from here on, from this time forward, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And we say, oh my, great for Paul, what's in it for me? Well, let's read on. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You know, it depends on what we're doing, beloved. If we don't think the Lord is coming, we're not doing anything. But if we love his appearing, if we're looking for him, then we would redouble our efforts and we would carry on the work and we'd seek to buy up the time, redeem the time, because the days are evil. And we would do what we can when we can, because it is unto the day of Jesus Christ, not only to the rapture of the church, but to the judgment seat of Christ. He will complete it. He will perfect it. And the word that audiences love the most from preachers is the word finally. But some finally go on for 15 minutes, but my finally is only going for one or two. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and here's where we end it, beloved. The completion of the work. It's going to be judged. What you do is going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. The work that was started in this city is going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Solemn, isn't it? For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work, not for quantity, not for exposure, but for quality of what sort it is. So I can run about and make as much noise as I want and get exposure everywhere, and I'm not doing anything. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. But if the work is of the Lord, if he begun this work, he will perfect it. He will complete it. And it will be judged. It would overcome the fire. It would stay. The fire will not burn it. Because it is the work of the Lord. He began it. By his grace, you continued. And he will perfect it. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here. I trust we said something that was profitable and helpful to the people of God as you continue in his service. The Lord knows all things, and the Lord started this work, and he will complete it. Brethren, let us join together and press on towards a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.